Thanks, Catherine. So I'll just swap the mics over, so we'll take this one off. Okay, lovely to have you with us. Take that down a little bit, please, Liam. Thank you. A little bit boomy. This bit of scripture is actually, and no kidding, this is my favorite piece of scripture. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart shall be. And I'm determined to have that written on my tombstone when I finally get laid in the ground. So it is my bit of scripture. So I'm going to explain to you what we'll explore what that means to us today as we continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount. So far, there's been a heck of a lot of teaching, and this teaching is important. This is Jesus's main piece of teaching while he was with us here on earth. The Sermon on the Mount, so far we've learned about what it means to be salt and light in the world. This is what all this teaching is about us being salt and light in a dark world. First teaching was on loving your enemies. The second was on giving to the needy and charity. The next was on the importance of forgiveness. The next was on the importance of fidelity in our intimate relationships. How important that is. The next one was about being truthful and upholding the truth in a world that has a heck of a lot of lies flying around at the moment. The next one was about the importance of purity and avoidance of sin. Today, hard on the heels of the spiritual disciplines that he has already spoken about previously, prayer, fasting, and giving, Jesus has linked these in and is speaking about how we can practice these things, how we can practice these things to the glory of God in a way that honors God. This sermon is about getting our priorities right in a world full of choices. It's about getting our priorities right in a world full of a myriad of choices, increasing number of choices for us. The teaching of Jesus today shows us how to learn to love and to serve God for himself in secret, rather than simply having our eye on the main chance, either by showing off or being religious or storing up wealth. His teaching shows us how to be light and salt. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in to steal. Instead, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Now, my dad was working in Brazil at the time when we were in Hong Kong. And he came back to visit us because our kids were born in Hong Kong. And Dad came back to visit us. And little did I know, he had cancer, but he didn't tell us. He had prostate cancer. Anyway, in just a little conversation he had with me in Sha Tin, Dad said to me, he said, "Ian," because I'd been a Christian for a number of years, he said, "Ian, you can become a Christian on your deathbed, can't you?" And I laughed. And I said, "Dad, you're such an opportunist." And then he just laughed. And he got quite defensive and said, "No, I'm not." But I will continue that story later on in the sermon. You'll hear how they ended up. So my dad is quite a character. N.T. Wright talks about, in this passage, he talks about a student who he studied with him in Oxford. And this student was so enamored with being a student and all the opportunities that came for studying on Oxford campus, and that he got so, so busy that he neglected to do his studies properly. And he failed that year. So N.T. Wright talks about being distracted by the things that are out there that distract us from the main focus. So in other words, how do we get our priorities right? How do we get our priorities correct? Well, Jesus says how we do that. He says, by praying, giving, and fasting. It's pretty straightforward. It's by praying, giving, and fasting, that you store up treasures in heaven. Jesus' previous teaching the week before spoke about the motives for doing these things, for fasting, for praying, and for giving, asking the question why we do it. Now, most of us, if we're honest, we struggle to get to first base with these things, don't we? Yeah, we do. We struggle to pray regularly. We struggle to give regularly. Not all of us, but some of us do. And we struggle to fast. We do the Lent thing. We might give a bit of chocolate. Yeah, that's a bit of an Anglican, such an Anglican thing. But actually, fasting is a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline that Jesus talks about, as well as giving and praying. So they're important. They are important. Look, Liam was mentioning last week about fasting. Lent is a great way to start practicing such things as fasting and also prayer, if you struggle with prayer. But also with prayer, it's one of the reasons why we offer really good devotionals for us and encourage us in our house churches and individually with each other to start each day with a devotional, with our eyes on the one whom we serve and worship. It makes a difference. I just want to thank you for those who responded last year. I just saw some notes from last year. I did preach on this, well, I mentioned the same passage. I said we had a shortfall of $65,000 in our budget coming into this year, and I said, guys, we need to increase our giving by 20%. We have increased that beyond 20%, which is great. But I'm just, well done. Thank you so much. Just beware that that was before the tax return came. So it shouldn't be about lump sums, though we're really grateful for that. It should be about a continuous discipline of giving. Okay? Now, Jeff's and Kate and I have done some work on this. We do need to increase very slightly, just by about $2,000 a month. But there, most of you give regularly. Some of you do not. All right? I'm just going to say that outright. Now, it's not about giving to the church. It's not about the church. All right? Don't get me wrong. It's not about the church. It's about you and your relationship with God. It's a discipline that Jesus himself encourages us to embrace, because in that is treasure. Yeah? In that there is treasure, not just in heaven, but here on earth for us. That privilege of giving to God's work and the needy and the poor, because that is where God is. So, don't get me wrong about that. It's not about giving to the church. It's about you and your relationship with God and embracing that discipline of giving. Now, why would you do those things? Why would you give? Why would you fast? Why would you pray? Why would you do that if you did not have a relationship with this incredible God whom we worship and we have been worshiping? Luke and Joshua got baptized last week. And, you know, it really drove home to me the importance of this relationship that we have with this loving God, which is being offered to us. Do you know that there's a painting, there's a famous painting by Helmut Hunt, I've got little cards, but I think it's a Raphaelite painting, and Jesus is holding a lamp, all right, and he's at this door, and the door is overgrown with fauna and plants and so forth, and he's knocking at the door. Now, the reason why he's knocking is because there's no door handle on that door. The door handle is on the other side, we are presuming. And he's knocking at the door of our lives. And the only person that can open that door is you and me for our own lives. When Luke came and I prayed with him, and I suddenly I was listening to his life story, then it just suddenly came that I should ask him if he had a relationship with the living God. And he said, no. I said, would you like to? He goes, yes. And we prayed, and he met with God, and his life was transformed. His life was transformed. I've been discipling Luke for up to his baptism, and guys, it's for me, it's just such a revelation of and reminder of my own conversion, but also how secular the society we live in is, and this freshness of new life that God offers us is so good. Luke took hold of that door handle and opened that door against all those weeds and so forth and that and plants, and invited Jesus into his life. And it made a difference. So why would you pray, fast, and give if you did not have a relationship with that God? Because it's out of thankfulness and gratefulness that we do these things, and they're not a chore. If you have that relationship, they are not a chore. They are a pleasure. They are a pleasure. So let's get our priorities right. The second part of the teaching is, be sure that your lamp is shining, says Jesus, rather than shining light rather than darkness. Now, Jesus knows something about darkness. When I went to Jerusalem, or I went to Israel, and went to Nazareth before I came back to New Zealand about 10 years ago. And Nazareth is, it was like, initially it was nothing. It was just a few caves. It was really quite a rough place. So when they say, can anything good come out of Nazareth, they meant it. It was a backwater nothing. Now, not far from there, there's this amazing city, which the remnants of the city exist. So they've got these amazing mosaics, Roman mosaics on the floors that have been excavated. It's on a hill on the plain that you can see at night when the fire is lit on the top of the hill at Sepphoris from little old dark Nazareth. It's not hard to imagine Jesus seeing the bonfire of light on this hill and thinking about this whole metaphor of light in the darkness. Yeah? So let's explore that a little bit. Be sure that your lamp is shining light rather than darkness. So how? How do we do that? Well, Jesus goes on. He says, well, the eye, our eyes are the key. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. How do we navigate our way in a dark world? Well, there's two things that he suggests, or we suggest. First of all, is you fix your eyes upon the light. You fix your eyes upon the light. Who is the source of light? God himself. It's a bit like, I don't know how many people walk tightropes here. Has anyone walked tightropes? They didn't in the 9 o'clock service either. If you walk a tightrope, you know that guy that went between the towers in New York, yeah. So you hold that big stick, and it lowers your center of gravity, and you walk on the tightrope. And where do you fix your eyes? You fix them on a point on the horizon where you're walking to. All right. What happens if you look down? You fall. It's a lovely analogy for this fixing your eyes on the light of God and following him in this dark world. Yeah? Fix your eyes on the light. The second thing is, take care of what you actually look at. Now, this is a huge challenge for us today in the age of the internet, in the age of smartphones. Be careful of what we look at and click on our phones, on our laptops, on our TVs. Yeah? Sex and violence, as far as entertainment goes, is just the bar's being set higher and higher, isn't it? Look, I'm not kidding when I go and click on Netflix, I struggle to find anything I want to watch. Simply because a number of things are not helpful to watch. It's going to get worse. I'm telling you now, it's going to get worse. Okay? So take care of what you actually look at. When we were in Hong Kong, I was teaching at Hong Kong International School, the middle school, and that was kids aged from 11 years of age up to 13, essentially, the middle school. It was an amazing school. In the library, we had like 30, 40 computers. This was in about 99. And the librarian said, Ian, when you go in, because the internet was just starting to really take off, he said, when I walk into the library, the computer room, and it's full of all these kids, she says, the porn is switched off immediately. So each and every one of them were watching porn. All right? This is kind of, that was 20 years ago. That was 20 years ago. So you can imagine where it's gone from there. This world is getting increasingly harder for our kids to navigate through. Pray for them, teach them, speak with them, encourage them to become children of salt and light. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. There are so many choices out there that we need to make. So the point here is, take care of what you look at. Nurture your conscience. That is a gift for you. Don't sear it by what you look at, by what you click on. It's a precious gift. Ask the question, what are your eyes naturally drawn to? Are you in control of them, or are they leading you? Really simple questions. Are you in control of what you look at, or are they leading you? Finally, Jesus, in verse 24, he comes back to money. All right, so you can't complain about me speaking about money, because Jesus speaks about money quite a lot. Now, there's a comedian that says, money speaks to me. Money speaks to me. It mostly says goodbye. Which I think is true for a number of us. Jesus here says that money gives us orders. It wants to boss you around. Money wants to boss you around. However, if you get your priorities right, there is only one boss. Who's that? Yeah, the answer is no, it's not Natalie. Scott. It's God. There's only one boss. That's what he says. You can't serve two masters. There's only one boss. Money is created to serve us. Wow, people get so wound up about money. But there's only one boss. Yeah? And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I ask the band to come up, please? When you look back on your life in 5, 10, 20 years' time, will you be glad that you put first things first? Will you be glad that you put first things first? I hope so. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Isn't that a beautiful bit of scripture? For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Shall be. Look back to my dad. When dad was on his deathbed, I offered him a relationship with God. I offered that to him, and he said no. He said no. And I regret not saying to him when he initially asked me, can I become a Christian on my deathbed? I regret not explaining to him instead of calling him an opportunist. I wish I'd explained that that treasure in heaven is not just offered for after death, it's offered for life here on earth as well. You know, I regret that Dad never experienced that treasure here on earth. I don't know if he did afterward, possibly he did. I don't know what went on in his heart. God offers us, and therefore others, salt and light for us to see and live by. God's life for us is so much more than life insurance. So much more than life insurance for later. Have we got our priorities right? Let's stand. Let's remember what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Jesus Christ, I think about your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. And many times I've wondered at your gift of life. Now I'm in that place once again. Now I'm in that place once again.